Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies, and thank you so much for joining us on this evening for Warrior Women for God Bible Study on Blog Talk Radio Show. And I am Minister Andrea Freeman. And as always, I am truly excited and I feel truly honored for another opportunity on this evening to share God's word with you and to just share some words of encouragement. So I thank you and I celebrate you for the opportunity and thank you so much again for joining us. Tonight, my message is not going to be too long because I'm going to be respectful of your time. I do understand that time is valuable, but I definitely have a message for you on this evening. So tonight, it's going to be more centered on kind of encouragement, just based on some recent conversations I've been having. And I think that we all could use some encouragement. And I thought about myself when I came up with the message for this evening. So just before I get into teaching tonight, I'm going to say a brief prayer, and then we'll move right along into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for everyone who has joined this line. And I just come before you saying, God, it's been so awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I humbly come before you, God. Just thank you for this day, God. Thank you for everything that you've been doing in our lives. I thank you for right now where we're at, Lord, in this season. Sometimes it doesn't feel like they're going the way we want them to go. But God, we know that you can do everything but fail. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your patience with us, God. And we just thank you for your everlasting love, Lord. Just thank you for our families, God. And I ask that you just continue to cover and keep all of our families, God, and just continue to supply all of our needs, Lord. Lord, we know that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Lord, and I ask for any protection over all of our homes, Lord, and I just ask that if there's any plans for the enemy to destroy us, Lord, that you reverse those plans, God, and I ask that if recession comes in our area or in our zip code, that it just passes straight by our home, Lord. Lord, I ask for the strength, Lord. I ask for the faith to continue on, Lord. Increase us, Lord. I just ask you, wherever we're in the end, Lord, just fill us, Lord. If we're weak, Lord, just build us up, God. And just ask that you can renew and restore everything that the enemy has ever stolen from any one of us, God. And I just ask that, Lord, if anything is broken, that you fix it, whether it's in our heads, whether it's in our hearts, or it's in our homes, Lord, you fix it, God. And Lord, I ask that you remove any feelings of hurt, any feelings of harm or fear, Lord, and anything that would keep us from believing and trusting you, Lord, and depending on you, God. And Lord, I just ask that if anybody on this line is having an issue or a struggle with unforgiveness, Lord, I just ask that you help them release it on this evening, God. I ask for your forgiveness for our unforgiveness, for us being unforgiving. But God, we ask that if there's anything we've holding in us, any anger, any bitterness, Lord, help us to release it today. And God, if there's anybody on this line tonight that is sick in their bodies, Lord, we do claim healing on this evening, God. We claim healing and that you restore everything back to its original condition, Lord, however you chose for it to operate. Anything in our bodies, Lord, we ask that it's functioning properly as of now, God. I just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And again, we just ask that you just cover everyone, our friends as well, God. If anybody on this phone has experienced any loss of any friends, of any family members, Lord, I just ask that you give them the strength and the comfort and the peace, Lord, to deal with it, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And ladies, this evening, my message is in reference to, if God says it, that settles it. I don't care who says it's not going to happen. It can happen. It won't happen. If he's already told us that it will happen, it's going to happen. If he says it, that settles it. And ladies, I know that each of us have encountered situations where we just felt like throwing in the towel. Mm-hmm. We felt like the whole world was against us. And we felt like no matter what we've done, things just always turn out bad. And we've often said to ourselves, regardless of what I do, no matter what I do, things just won't seem to change. Or sometimes we're in a position where we just feel so down. We've just gotten so far down, Lord, that there's nothing that can bring us up. But let me tell you, lady, there is. And I want you to know on this evening that you don't have to feel that way. Because if God says it, that settles it. We have to start standing on the word of God. We have got to start standing and believing his promises, standing on those promises. And those of us that have hope in Christ, we don't have to feel like it's over or everything is against us. And every time the enemy rises against us, he defeats us. No, we have to realize that because we serve a risen Savior, that we can live victorious lives. Ladies, I thought about some words that are powerful. And as I was thinking about some powerful words, I thought about two word phrases. And I found quite a few as I was researching and looking through the Bible. I found a number of them. And I found some that have been, I personally felt have been extremely powerful. Now, I looked and I noticed that there was plenty of two-word phrases found in the Word of God. And some of the two-word phrases were healed all. I found that several times, or quite a few times in the Bible, healed all. Another word, two-word phrase that was used was gathered in. Another two-word phrase that is used in the Bible is cast out. Another one is raised up. Another one is pulled down. But truthfully, as I looked at all the two-word phrases, I kept saying, well, each of these phrases are used in context with the power of God. However, that was just one phrase that really stood out to me because I use it all the time. And that confirms that whatever God says settles it. Just this one phrase. And I happen to see this phrase in there a number of times. And from looking and checking, it says that the phrase is used over 43 times in the scripture. And that surpasses all of the other two-word phrases. And that phrase is, but God. Have you ever just thought to yourself, but God? This two small word phrase, it communicates a tremendous message to all, everybody, just to hear it. And it's God's response to Satan's challenge because you know he's always standing in our face, and especially when we're near our biggest breakthrough. Satan is right there challenging us. And guess what? But God. See, it is the bottom line. That again, that means if he said it, it settles it. It's the bottom line. It is the last word over but the shouting. So it's it. But God. And but God, when it's viewed in relation to the challenges of life, it's like what up is to down. That's what but God is. Is what up is to down, and what life is to death. What life is to death. What up is to down, and what in is to out. But God, it stands totally opposed to the negative rule of the world. So it's opposed to that because the world always, or not always, but often says no, right? But God says yes. And remember, I just said, if he says it, that settles it. So God says yes, and the world says, you can't do it. Oh, you can't do that. That's just too much for you, or that's too big. But God says that you can. The world says that you won't do it. or she won't do that. She don't have enough in her to do that, and she just can't do something like that. She won't do it. But God says that she will. And the world says, stop. Oh, you know what? You better stop. You better stop. But you know what? God says, go. The world says, don't. Don't do that. Aren't you afraid? Don't do that. But God says, do it. But God, because again, no matter what the world says, what the enemy says, if God says it, that settles it. Because the world wants us to often feel defeated. And actually, the world says defeat. But guess what? But God says victory. But God climbs the highest mountain and crosses the darkest alley and sings songs of victory in a midnight hour. But God exclaims, I'm going to the enemy's camp, and I'll take back whatever he stole from me. See? By God. And again, that settles it. Stop wondering and worrying and questioning and asking and begging and pleading. He's already settled it. If he told you so, that's the final word. That's it. But God is courageous. He's confident and conclusive. And ladies, you have to read that I'm speaking to you this evening from God's perspective. I'm not just telling you that, oh, he said, yeah, this is going to happen or however, and he says you should have the victory. No, I'm speaking from God's perspective. And it's too many times that we look at things through our own eyes, that natural eye. We keep looking at stuff through our own eyes when we really need to have new eyes to see, new ears to hear. We keep looking at things through our own eyes, and the only thing that you can see is failure because you got your eyes so stuck on the difficulty. Get off of the difficulty. But God tells us to look at it as he sees it. Look at it as God sees it. And I'm encouraging you on this evening to put your kingdom glasses on. Put them on. And see things that God sees. See them the way that he sees them. And I want you to know that it's not over until God says it's over. It's not. I don't care what the enemy has told you, but every time I think about a situation, and every time he tries to discourage me, I automatically says, you know what? I know what God told me, and that settles it. I'm not going to sit here and battle and go back and forth with the enemy about whether or not what God said to me is really true. Mm-mm. If he says it, that settles it. And sometimes you think about when we go to sporting events, or we watch stuff on TV. Like if you're watching a game, I know a lot of people like football. A lot of people like their personal football teams. But if your team is not winning and then the end draws near, you leave before it's over, not knowing that you might even see a miraculous ending. Have you ever left the TV screen and said, oh, man, they're losing? And then it was maybe a minute and 45 seconds, and you went to work or somewhere the next day, and you found out that they won? You're like, what? Because guess what? But God, he said it, and that settles it. And I urge you on this evening to stay for the entire game. Just stay for it. If you're watching something, stay. Because you have to wait until the last second stick off that clock. Wait until the home team has had its chance. Because, again, it's not over until he says it's over. Wait until that last play is made, because if you quit too soon, you might leave before victory is even seen. And I want to tell you on this evening that think about your situation. However, you know, it might be tight, it might be tough, and it may look impossible. You may look like, I don't know what's going to happen, and I know that it's not good. Well, you don't know that it's not good, because the joy may still be out on your situation. And all the votes aren't in. And you hear all the fat lady has a song? No, God has not had his final say. So don't count it out. And I'm speaking to you in this way because that's what we do. We often say, oh, my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, my goodness. Well, guess what? If you read your Bible, that's a book of miracles. I read it every day. And from that book of miracles, there's many instances where our adversary is confounded and confused. There are stories of his elaborate schemes going wrong because he failed to realize that God would have the final say. The devil had worked so hard to get everything just right. Yet just when he thinks he's victorious, he is. But God. But God. And as we look, you know, at the text, we're reminded of the story of Joseph, how he had been humiliated by his brothers and sold into slavery. I'm sure most of you have already heard that story, how he had been slandered by the wife of Potiphar. Yet he stood steadfast, he did. How he had forgotten by the chief baker after interpreting his dream, yet was faithful. The life of Joseph is perhaps the best Old Testament example of the accuracy of the verse in Romans 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all means everything. Not some things, not one thing, not a few things. All means everything. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things. Got to believe it. And the sale of Joseph as a slave was meant for harm by his brothers. The end result was Joseph becoming prime of Egypt, becoming reunited with his family and saving their lives. Remember hearing that? And Joseph endured many trials and tribulations. And the thing is, Satan had done so many things to him that were meant for bad, but God meant it for good. He did. He meant it for good. And so many times the devil throws things our way. He throws things my way on a daily basis. It's not that I don't, I ignore everything. And some things you have to actually confront, but they don't affect me the way they affected me when I wasn't in the Word. It's not that I ignore everything. I do acknowledge certain things, and I do pay attention. But guess what? He won't have me hanging down and hanging low. He's not going to throw things my way that's meant to make me stop trusting God. Mm-mm. And that's the way we have to be. Things that are meant to make us feel sorry for ourselves. Mm-mm. And he does things that are meant to make us give up. Things that are meant for bad. But every time I think about God having the final word, I say, but God. He has the final word. But God. And again, if he says it, that settles it. And remember, but God means them for good. See, God takes us through things to make us stronger. He doesn't try to tear us down. He's taking us through things. Sometimes he has to take us through some of the hardest places in life to get us to the best place in life. I know that because I personally experienced a lot of it. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but among the thorns, you generally will find a beautiful rose. Mm-hmm. And Satan, mm-hmm, yes, he did. He means it for bad, but God, he means it for good. And those times when everything is going well in our lives, you know, you think about, oh, everything's good. And then all of a sudden, it seems like the bottom falls out. Remember, Satan means it for bad, but God, he has the final say. He means it for good. And whenever you think about husband and wives, you know, like on an example, like a husband and wife on the opposite side of the room. And Satan means it for bad, but God, I tell you. And when it looks like your children, you know, your husband's talking and you talking and all that, and your kids don't seem to be listening, it looks like your children just don't hear what you're saying. And sometimes they don't think that you as parents even understand. Yes, Satan means it for bad because he wants it to look bad. He wants everybody to be confused. He just wants to be the master of confusion. But God, he means it for good. But God, you really have to believe it. But God, and sometimes it seems like even in like churches, sometimes it seems like they don't want to work with each other, and sometimes the members might refuse to do what the pastor says and all that other stuff because that's what Satan wants to happen. Satan means it for good, for bad. Oh, excuse me, that was definitely a mistake. He means it for bad, but God, see, God, all the things that happened to Joseph, to the average man, it would have seemed like it was too much. But you know what? Joseph, they were saying something about how they could hear Joseph saying that his brothers, his own flesh had betrayed him and sold him as a slave. His master's wife had accused him and caused him to fall out of favor with him and had him thrown in jail. The chief butler, whose dream that Joseph interpreted, had forgotten him and left him there in the prison. Yes, to the average man, it might have seemed quite bleak, right? But Joseph knew that no matter what was thrown at him, no matter what was done to him, no matter how Satan attacked, the God he served would allow him to say, I may be down now, but God, you got to trust and believe that God will do it. He will do whatever he's promised. He would do it. You have to have the type of attitude that we need in the church today. We need to understand that no matter what we go through, no matter how bad things may get, no matter how the enemy may attack us, always, always, always remember that it might look dark now, but God, he says it, that settles it. He has the final word. His word is the final authority. There's nothing Satan can do. You see, the devil's always trying to bring the confusion when there's order. He is. And if good things are happening, he wants to break it down. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. Because the devil thinks that he has it all worked out. But God. See, he thought he could stop the plan of God. But God. He thought he could stop the people of God. But God. He could not. He can't. See, all of us used to be just as those in the world. I definitely been one of just as those of the world. All of us used to be that. I don't care what anybody says. All of us used to be just as those of the ones in the world. And our lives expressing the evil within us doing every wicked thing that our passions or our evil thoughts might lead us into. See, ladies, we started out bad. Being born with evil natures and we're under God's anger just like anyone else. But God, he's so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised Christ from the dead. And only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved and lifted up from the grave into glory along with Christ. Well, we sit with him in the heavenly realms, and it's all because of what Christ Jesus did. Mm-hmm. All because of that. Ladies, I'm just trying to tell you on this evening that no matter what the situation, no matter how bad it might look, no matter how bad you've been, no matter whether it's day or night, remember that whatever comes, but God. See, Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Mm-mm, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't. See, Satan says, such were some of you, but God says, ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, Satan says, you can't make it on your own, but God says, if I'm for you, I am more than the world against you. Satan says, hold on to your problem, for no one can help you. But God says, cast all your cares on me. Well, I care for you, right? And Satan says, take the easy way out. But God says, the race is not given to the swift, to the strong, but to the one that endureth until the end. Think about it. And Satan keeps on telling you all these little things. He says that your enemies have you surrounded. Come out with your hands up. But God says, I'll make your enemies your footstool. You know that. Satan tells you stuff like sickness will follow you. But God says, by his stripes, we are healed. And Satan runs around saying, there's nothing else doctors can do. But God says, I can change that diagnosis. Satan says, and I'll make you a sinner slave, or a slave to sin, sorry. I'll make you a slave to sin. And God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? Satan says stuff like, I'll take your son and hold him in the grave. But God says, after 3 days, I will rise again. Satan says, I've got him now. But God says, death, where's you sting grave? Where's you victory? Sorry, that's your victory. Where's it at? Yeah, where's your victory? See, ladies, don't listen to the lies and these crazy words of our enemy. Because, again, God says, it's okay. There is victory. It's okay. It's okay. There is victory. I don't care about Satan saying he got you because he don't have you. Because God says, death was your sting. Remember, God said, grave was your victory. Cannot believe what the enemy is saying. You cannot make his words reality. You cannot believe it. You have to realize that God has the final word. You have to see things from the Father's perspective. Incline your ear and just hear. And all you, I always think about it. I'll say, you know, Satan says defeat, and I'll be saying, but God, but God, but God. And I'll be saying, if he says it, that settles it. Oh, and his word is the final word. I always say that Satan's word is not the final word because he can say defeat, but God said victory, so I know that's the final word. I don't care if Satan's running around saying disease. God said healing, so that's the final word. I don't care about Satan saying hate or to do this hate. But God says love. That's the final word. Satan says destruction. We know that. He wants to destroy us. Yes, we know that. But guess what? God says restoration. That's the final word. Satan says division. He wants to divide you up from your church family, from your home family, your work family, everybody. He wants to divide you up from your friends, anybody. He wants you to feel like this is it. But God says, unity. Nothing about division. Satan says abandonment. He wants you to feel like you've been abandoned. Nobody cares. That's why he wants everybody to be all divided. Oh, they don't care about you. But God says redemption. Ladies, Satan, he meant it for bad. But you got to understand that God, he has the final word. And every time you feel low, you got to start lifting your own spirit. Start lifting your spirits by thinking, but God, and that's not what God said. And God's word is the final word. It's the final authority. If he says it, that settles it. So you've got to start shifting your thinking. And whenever it seems like the devil has his foot holding you down, you got to realize this for yourself, that you can't beat him. But God. But God can. If this old world has gotten you down and you can't find a way up, you got to remember the phrase, but God, if you can't remember nothing else. You got to remember that he has the final word if you can't remember nothing else. You got to remember that his word is the final authority if you can't remember nothing else. Because no matter what the situation, no matter what the problem, no matter how bad it may be, we serve a matchless God. And but God can make it better. You see, I think about all the things that could have went on in my life. You know, I had the father that drank. I had a mother that did drugs. I had all kinds of stuff going on. And I thought about the things that could have happened to me. I grew up low income, and we lived, you know, basically poor growing up. But I said, but God, God can make it better. You see, I could have been an alcoholic. I could have. But I've never drank a day in my life. I could be a drug user, but I've never used drugs a day in my life. I could be a child abuser, but I've never abused any of the four children and two brothers that I raised, four children I had and two brothers that I raised. I could be on my deathbed, but God, you said, mm-mm. I could be out of my mind based on everything that went on in my life, but God, mm-mm. I could be without a roof over my head, but God, I have a roof over my head. Because guess what? No matter what the enemy plans, that's not his plan. I could be without food to eat. I could be without money in my pocket. I could be without a friend. I could be lost and on my way to hell. Because I've been there before. I was lost. But God, see, he loved me so much that he saved my soul. He did. And it's the same with you. He loves us just that much. And if he can save my soul, he can save anybody's soul. Because I'll tell you, I was a mess. I mean, a mess. Nobody could fix me. So I know it had to be God. See, he sent his only son to live and die as the payment for my sin. And that's why we had to do what we had to do and believe in him. We have to believe everything that he says. We do. What we have to do is make whatever we have with him personal, because he died for you and he died for me. But God, early one Sunday morning, he got up, all power in his hands. He didn't get up with black power. He didn't get up with white power. But God got up with all power in the palm of his hands. That's why I can stand here tonight and say, God will take care of you. He will. God will take care of you. And we might think that we have it all figured out. You've been trying to figure this mess out for the longest time. How is it working for you? We might think that we know what's best. I doubt it. But God, he has a plan for every life on this line. And all we have to do is seek after his will. See, the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the thereof are the ways of death. Ladies, I'm just, again, trying to tell you this evening. This is serious. You've got to get it. You've got to take it serious. And if you follow his ways, if you let him lead you, if you seek after his will, you will find that there's nobody else that can do you like him. Okay, I was singing a song the other day, can't nobody do me like Jesus. And there's nobody greater. You will find that out. But God, he can open doors that have been shut. He can. He can close doors that no man can open. Nobody else can do that. But God, he can give you sight. If you're blind, he can give sight to the blind. No matter what it is, he can make the lame man walk and a dumb man talk. I heard somebody say that. I was at church one day or something. He said, God can make the lame man walk and a dumb man talk. Ain't that the truth? Nobody else but God. But God, he can do anything but fail. And keep in mind, I know we're starting to move past time, so I'm going to get off the line tonight. Just in closing, saying, trust God. And remember, but God, if God says it, that settles it. His word is the final authority. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what your boss said at work. That don't mean anything. Because God said something else, and it settles it. I don't care what the bank said when they told you no. God has the final word. That's why he told you yes. I don't care if they said you're not supposed to be living in the house you in, but God, he had the final word. Because no one else has the final word. Remember that. And God loves you. Remember, he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. So, ladies, on this evening, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining us. I truly, truly appreciate you. I love you. I am always, always praying with you and for you. Some of people's names that are online regularly, I pray for and I say names and individually, but I always pray for you as a whole as well. I love you, love you, love you, and I pray that you can just continue to join the line each and every week and bring other people with you because we all need the word. We all need encouragement. And we all want to grow in Christ and begin to start doing his will and not our own will. So, ladies, again, I just say thank you. Join us the same time next week, 8 p.m. Minister Erica will give you the word next week. So I thank you. And on Mondays, don't forget to join us. Bible study, we have Minister Keisha. Minister Keisha is on fire for the Lord. And I mean, when I tell you she do some praying, she truly, truly, truly blesses my life. On a regular basis, not just Monday, but Minister Keisha prays for us 7 days a week. So we got to keep her in prayer, her and her family, keep her lifted up, and just be so grateful for her. Get online on Monday night, 8 p.m., and put your family in prayer. Everybody needs prayer. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about who's on the line. Don't worry about what other people would think of you. Because a lot of other people have gone through some of the same things, and some of them have, you know, have to go through certain things as well, and they put their families on the line. They're not worried about what somebody else thinks. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. We have nothing to be ashamed of. I don't care what your life looked like. I really don't even care what it looked like 10 minutes ago, because God still has a plan for you. He can take care of all of that. So, again, please join us next week, and let me give you the number for Monday prayer. That number is 712-432-3100. The code is 283302. Again, that's Monday evenings at 8 p.m. That number is 712-432-3100. The code is 283302. Please don't forget to join us on Monday. You do not want to miss out on that, because you can be truly, truly, truly blessed. And if you feel like you need a word from the Lord, that's the place to be on Monday night at 8 p.m. Thank you, ladies. You have a blessed night, and we'll be back next week. Good night.